Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
Again, we are people who are called to have a testimony. People should see us and how we live and how we speak should have a godly influence on others' life. That is why we are here. And when we do that, we will indeed have a life that has significance, a life that has eternal implications to it, that we are going to be people that bring about an eternal change in the life of others, that we will influence them to walk in truth, that they would be committed to the God of Israel, that they will receive the Savior of Israel, our Messiah, Yeshua, so that they too have that kingdom hope. Well, take out your Bible and look with me to the book of Proverbs and chapter 29. The book of Proverbs and chapter 29. Now, we completed the first half last week. We're going to begin in verse 15 at this time, and we want to pay close attention to the language of the biblical text, because so frequently translators don't translate. They don't render words as they should, but rather they want to help you understand these words in light of their perspective, how they understand the text rather than necessarily what the text literally says. So let's begin verse 15. Now, the first word we find here would be translated as a rod. And in this case, and context bears this out, it's a rod of punishment or discipline. It is an instrument that a father might use upon his son, or a man would use upon his servant, in order to bring about a change in that individual's life. And the message is this: discipline is necessary for there to be a godly change in someone's life. Now, does it always have to be a physical punishment? No. But physical punishment are highly influential. They bring about a change. So if we look at verse 15, it says a rod, and the next word is a word of reproof. It's in the plural. So reprovings. So there's a punishment with that rod, and there also is a correction, a reproving. And this word has to do with setting some in order, that people learn what is wrong, learn what is incorrect, learn what is a violation of the word of God. And it says that someone who receives the rod and receives these reproofs, it says here that such a one is going to be giving wisdom, meaning discipline and correction produces wisdom in an individual's life. And we need wisdom. Wisdom is how God begins to direct our ways. When we exercise wisdom, we're listening to God's instruction. We're paying attention to the Word of God and what God would have us to do, how He would have us to live, what decisions He would want us to make. So we read here that the rod and reprovings will give wisdom. But a young man, and it's a word na'ar. Na'ar normally, not always, but normally refers to an adolescent male. So an adolescent male, that is, and the next word is meshulach. What is that? Sent away. Now, the implication here is someone who ignores a child, a son. someone who's not actively involved but ignores that young man. And it says here that someone who does that is going to bring shame to his mother, meaning this. When a father who has the primary responsibility of discipline, certainly if we're talking about a young man, it's the father's responsibility. The mother oftentimes is not large enough and may, that rebellious youth may not respect his mother and such. And because of that, it is incumbent upon the father to discipline and correct, that is to set his son in order. When he does so, that is going to provide wisdom for that young man. But if that young man is ignored, if he's sent away, what's going to happen? He is going to bring shame upon his mother. So this is not something that is good. We know that it's the opposite of what the Torah teaches us, because the Torah tells us that we should honor, that is a word of respect, it's a word of giving glory, that we should honor our father and mother. When there is an absence of distance, discipline, and an absence of punishment, there's not going to be that honor given, but it's going to be the exact opposite, and that is shame. Look on to verse 16. In the abundance of wicked ones, transgression will increase. So we have this same word being used twice. First, in the abundance, this is the word bir vot. In the abundance of wicked ones, transgression will increase. But righteous ones will see their fall. Meaning this, when you are righteous, you are going to see the faithfulness of God. What is going to cause these wicked ones to fall? And this fall is a word of humiliation. It is a word of defeat. It's a word of punishment. So what's going to cause that? The faithfulness of God. God in time will indeed bring about punishment upon those who deserve it. God is a perfect, a true, a wise judge. So he is going to, when the time is right, he is going to bring about their fall. All of this speaks about the character of God and the faithfulness of God. Verse 16, we see, or verse 17, your son, he will correct. And the implication is, when you correct your son, here it simply says, your son, he will correct. And he will give to you rest. Now, this word rest has to do with a comfort that comes from that which is appropriate. The biblical word rest has to do with a right location, meaning this. You correct your son, and that son is going to be in the right place, and the implication is doing the right thing, and that will be a comfort that will give you a peace of mind. That's what we see in the first half of this. But as we go to the second one, and he will give you, and then we have a word for that which delights. Now, some would say that it's speaking about delicacies, and normally that word is used in regard to food that is very, very delightful to the taste. And delightful food gives pleasure. So what it's saying here is that he is going to give those things which delight you to your soul. There's going to be a spiritual benefit, a spiritual comfort, a spiritual delight that comes from that son whom you discipline. And it says son here because that is the emphasis of this verse, but obviously the same thing applies for a daughter. Verse 18. A very famous verse where it says, without vision. Now, this is a word, chazon. Now, who is the source of godly visions? Obviously, God is. And we develop a vision. We have that perspective. There's a close relationship in biblical Hebrew between the word for vision and the word for perspective. when we have a righteous perspective, a proper vision, obviously the source of that is God, primarily His Word. So when we understand the Word of God, we're going to have a proper vision. And notice the benefit of that. It says, where there is no vision, it says, Yifara Am. Now, the word here for lafria is the word for to bother. Now, most Bibles will say, and I don't disagree with this, they will translate it in an interpretation, the people will cast off restraint. Now, that's exactly what happens. When we are not aware of, or we are not committed to, the perspective of God, the vision of a situation that God has, there is an inherent relationship between God's vision, what He provides, and His will. So when we are not aware of the will of God, and we're not committed to that will, what's going to happen? Just what it says here. We will begin to cast off restraint. It's when we are committed to the perspective of God, we can say that differently, when we are committed to the purposes of God, we are going to restrain ourselves or keep ourselves from evil, from those things that are in contrast to the vision that God has for a given situation, an issue, a matter, a life, a something that has to do with a plan of God. So look at this verse again. Without a vision, the people will bother, and that's literally what it says, will bother others. That's the implication. They will be a person that does not bless, but rather they will provide that which is a nuisance, an annoyance, that which will cause problems. But he who keeps the law will be happy. Now, this word for happy also relates to blessing. So when we keep, and remember something, this word for keep is a participle, and we would translate it with the phrase, he who keeps, whenever the present is there, we should know that it means an emphasis in the biblical language. When Hebrew, the tense is in the present or a present participle, it makes that statement emphatic. It's emphasized. So here, the one who keeps the law, what is being emphasized is that he is going to be happy. He is going to be blessed. And who does that? God does it. Verse 19. With words, a servant will not be disciplined, for he will understand, but he will not respond. Now, this goes back up to verse 15, where if our correction is just verbally, many times just that verbal correction, that verbal reproof isn't enough. It takes that physical punishment. In other words, pain to a certain degree in order that a servant or a young person will understand the consequences of his action. So this is a very important verse. Verse 19, with words, a servant will not be corrected, for he will understand, but he will not respond. He won't answer. And this is a response in behavior. He will answer in a proper way. Verse 20. You have seen a hasty man. Now, the word here is chazita. This is in the past tense. In fact, when I was preparing, many people translate this in the present, and it ought not. It's speaking about something that you have witnessed, something that you have experienced, and the implication is repeatedly. So when you have looked upon a hasty man with his words, so someone who speaks hastily, he doesn't review, he doesn't restrain his tongue. Whatever he thinks, quickly he says it. And he says, such a person is not pleasing to God. What does it say? Tikvah, which is hope. Hope for a foolish one is more than him. So someone who is hastily speaking or rash with his words, this person has less hope than a foolish one. Now, this just tells us something that we learn from Yaakov, and I'm speaking about the epistle of Yaakov, what is commonly called in English, James. And what we learn here is this, that we should bridle our tongue, meaning we should constrain our tongue. Just don't say it because it's come to your mind. Don't be rash with words. Don't be hasty with speech, but be very cautious. This is what's being emphasized here. And when we're not, we have less hope than one who is foolish. So a very stern, stern teaching in verse 21. Now, verse 21 is a great example of a verse which is translated in a variety of ways, most often than not, incorrectly. Now, if you go, for example, and many times people say, well, what's a good Bible translation? Say the New King James. And I say that, and for the most part it is, but here it totally fails. Because when we look at it, it's going to translate a word. This word, when we look at it in the text, we see that it's a word, manon. Manon, when you look it up today and you do a thorough study of that word, it speaks about someone who is a degenerate, someone who is not faithful, someone who is not obedient, someone who is an individual of strife, of contention, of disagreement. But if you look at many translations, they use this word and they translate it in a positive sense. It should not be. For example, you will have translations like the King James, New King James, and the English Standard Version will translate it as a son. So let's read the verse and see what it literally says. Verse 21. One who pampers from the youth his servant. So the question is, should we pamper a servant? Is that is going to produce good results? Well, if you look at some translations, they say yes, that this pampering is going to make this one in the end like a son, that he's going to be an heir, that he is going to have a good outcome. But this is not what the scripture is saying. Look again, let's translate the whole verse in a proper way. Let me read it in Hebrew first. Mefanek mi noar avdo ve'acharito yihyeh manon. What does that mean? Very literally translated. Pampering from a youth, meaning one's youth, his servant, and the end, his end will be, and it's really someone who is a degenerate, someone who is insolent, someone who is not good. We don't find that pampering someone produces a good outcome. We ought not do it, certainly not to a servant. A servant needs to be disciplined. That's what we've been told. So how the English Standard Version, how the King James, the New King James, and also others translate this is entirely incorrect. It gives a wrong impression that pampering a servant will make him like a son to you, that he will become your heir of your things. This is false. This is not what the Hebrew is truly saying. By the way, this word, manon, only appears here in the scripture. So whenever there's a word that has very few occurrences, you need to study that more. And when you come across a word, when I looked at this, I was not familiar with this word. So what must one do? See, proper Bible study is not just coming across a word like a name of a location or a name of an individual. And we don't know what that word means. For example, the term Nazareth. very important that we see that one of the ways that Messiah is spoken of is Yeshua Me-Natsrat, or Jesus from Nazareth. We need to know what Nazareth means and all these other names of places and people. We need to know the meaning of that. That's just good Bible study, sound Bible study. And when we come across a word, and you can do this for yourself. You can go to a source that gives you numerous translations of a verse, and you compare them. And if you find that there's great disagreement with how that verse is translated, or one word in particular, it means that you have to study that word. So when I came across this, I didn't recognize this word. I began to study. And then later on, as I do with all my teachings, I sit down with my wife and we go over the scripture and we see how translations render it. So I know what people are encountering when they look at this verse. And we saw great inconsistency and really two very, very different understandings of this word. So in conclusion, we see that this word manon is a person who is not pleasing to God. So pampering a servant is not going to make him like a son to you, or that he's going to be an heir to you. No, this pampering of a servant is going to make him a man of strife, and also someone who is divisive and a degenerate when it comes to him being a faithful servant. Verse 22. Ish af, which means an angry man, will stir strife. Now that's something that's just a truth. If you're angry by nature, you are going to stir strife. You are going to be a source of division. And then it says, and one who possesses heat, which is another word for anger. One who is a possessor of anger is going to be abundant in transgression. So that anger is going to make us stir up strife, and it's going to cause us to be abundant in transgression. Well, we don't want to stir up strife. We don't want to be someone who is abundant in transgression. And this word pesha, in modern Hebrew, it's a word for crime in general. We don't want to be multiply doing things that are criminal. We want to do those things that are pleasing to God, in line with the character of God. Move on to verse 23. Gavat Adam. What's gava? Gava is pride. Here it's in the construct, so it's gavat Adam. A prideful man, it says here, he will be cast down. So a prideful man, he is going to be made humble. That which is exalted, God is going to bring down. That which is humble, God is going to lift up. So here we have that same principle. A prideful man is going to be humiliated. He is going to be cast down. But we see someone who is lowly in spirit, or humble in spirit, is going to support glory. Now that's what that word means, litmoch is to support something. He is going to support, he is going to be participating in that which is of glory. Meaning he is going to support the things of God. What is the most glorious thing that we can encounter? The will of God. Here's the principle that we need to see. When one chooses the will of God, he is inviting glory into his life. When I live in the will of God and do the will of God, I am going to be experiencing and manifesting glory to me and from me. Very important. This is what this verse is promising. But when I am prideful, I am going to not be supporting that which is glorious to God, but quite the contrary. I am going to be causing God to punish me. When I stir up strife, when I am someone who is angry by nature, none of that is going to lead to glory. Look now to verse 24. Now, verse 24, the first word here is the word cholek, which is a word to divide. So one who is dividing with a thief hates his soul, meaning this. When you are in partnership with a thief and you are supporting him, helping him in some way, in the end, that is not going to be a blessing to you. It's not going to be advantageous to you, but rather that behavior of supporting a thief is going to bring about, as it says here, it is going to be bringing about that which in the end you will hate. Your soul will hate that. That's literally what it says. Sone nafsho, he hates his soul, that spiritual dimension. It is not going to be pleasing if you participate in the activity of a thief. And then notice the last part. The next word is Allah. Allah here is an oath or a curse. So what it speaks here in the context is probably better understood as an oath. So one who hears, who will hear an oath, but he does not what? He does not respond. He does not speak of it. Now, what that means is this. This word for oath is usually a word that's related to a court case. So someone is bearing testimony, but the implication is that he is not going to tell of this testimony. If someone is like a juror, he's not going to take that testimony into consideration. Why? Because he is going to support the thief, because there's something in it for him, he believes. Now, another way to understand this is very differently. Allah, a cursed one, one who is cursed. Why is he cursed? Because he's rebellious. He is not obedient. So a disobedient one is going to be cursed. And it says here, he is not going to, what he has heard, he's not going to declare. He is not, if we're not talking about someone who's listening to testimony like a juror, but one who is bearing testimony that he's in that witness box, he's taking the witness stand. In that case, this one is not going to, even though he takes that oath, he's not going to tell what he knows. He's not going to provide the testimony that he ought to based upon what he has seen. Verse 25. Now again, we come across words, and we need to realize that these words have to be translated accurately. Now, again, in preparing for this, I come across a word, how it's translated with my wife, and it's the word fear. But we have to understand that there are different words for fear. Now, if we use the word yirah, which is like the fear of the Lord, that is a good thing. This is not a word that ever is used for the fearing of the Lord. This is a word in modern Hebrew that is used for being in shock. For example, you witness something that is horrible. Oftentimes, when there is a terrorist act, and we could talk about some type of terrorist behavior, perhaps a shooting, perhaps a bomb goes off, or recently, in the midst of this war, bombs or rockets are hitting cities. And they'll talk about those who are injured, and they make a distinction between those who were physically hurt, perhaps with shrapnel or something else, they're physically injured, and those who are affected by it from a more of a internal way. We call that being in shock, harada in Hebrew. So there's a difference. This is the word harada. Of course, in this case, it's cherdat, which is anxiety. It's not a legitimate fear, but it's more of a paranoia. It's a fear that one ought not have. It's misplaced. It's feeling stress, anxiety, pressure. And it says here, this one, the one who is full of anxiety, it's like given a snare, meaning this. This type of non-legitimate fear is going to snare that person. It is going to cause him to be captured by the enemy in the sense that the enemy's attacks will have success. We're not called to be fearful of this world. We're called to give God fear, meaning give God priority of our life. That's what the fear of the Lord is, making God first and subjecting every other thing in your life to Him. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is good, but this is a misplaced fear, and it's going to snare that person. But notice the contrast. But the one who's trusting in the Lord. Now, if you are operating under fear, anxiety, pressure, paranoia, you are going to be snared. That fear is going to place a snare before you. When you are motivated by anxiety, stress, paranoia, you are going to be led in the wrong direction, and it is going to capture you. You will be captured by the enemy. But those who, notice what the scripture says, those who are trusting, literally it's in the singular, the one who trusts in the Lord, says here, Yesugav. What is that? He is going to be, literally it's exalted. Now, I understand that many translations will say he will be safe. I don't argue with that translation. Why? Well, this word for Segev is the Hebrew word. It's also a popular name in Hebrew. Segev speaks of something that is exalted. But more often than not, if you do a good study of this word, it speaks about something that is lifted up and placed in safety. Something that's out of the reach of the enemy. So here, when we look at this, it speaks about it's trusting. When one trusts in the Lord, it brings about safety. That's what the scripture is saying. It puts us out of the reach of the enemy. Verse 26. Many are seeking the face of a ruler. Now, some will translate the word face as favor. Now, I would agree in the sense that they're seeking the king's presence. The word panim can be face, or it can be the presence of. So many are seeking the presence of a ruler. Now, why? They want the ruler to do something. But notice what it says. But from the Lord is a man's justice. So we find justice not from a human king, but we find justice from the Lord. What is the implication for that? How do we make that practical? Well, very simply. When I am consumed with getting to some person in leadership so that they can help me, well, I'm going to be placating that person. I'm going to be complimenting that person. I'm going to be giving to that person and such. And this one's probably corrupt. But it's the Lord that we should be trusting in. So when we have a problem, do not immediately think, wow, I have this some disease. I've got to find the best doctor. If I can get a meeting with that greatest doctor, everything's going to be okay. Well, who gave that good doctor his knowledge and skill? God did. Why do you want to go to the middleman? Go to God directly. So if you trust in the Lord, you are going to go to Him and you'll find help, safety. You will be lifted up by God. Humanity can't lift you up. And if humanity praises you and lifts you up in society, realize it's only temporary. But what God does is eternal. So we need to be trusting in the Lord, not in man. Verse 27, our last verse. It begins with the word, and I believe that many Bibles flip the order. I don't know why. There's no necessity to do that at all. But let's read it in Hebrew. Toavat tzadikim ish avel, which means an abomination of righteous one is an unjust man. Now that word for injustice or unjust is the word avel, and it speaks about someone who perverts truth, someone who is wicked, someone who is unrighteous. So someone who behaves in this way, who has that type of mentality, that he is not committed to the righteousness of God, that for someone who is righteous is an abomination. But keep reading. And the abomination of wicked, and it's in the singular, not like it is in the first part of the verse where it says righteous one, tzadikim. Here we have rasha, which is a wicked one. So an abomination of a wicked one is what? Yeshar darach. What's that? Someone who is straight in the way. Those who are wicked, they don't like someone living righteously, walking and behaving in that straight way, being where that person should. They don't want faithfulness. Those who are wicked, they like corruption. So that which is an abomination to them is someone who is in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. They don't like that person who is straight in the way. They like that which is crooked. They want to be able to pervert what is pleasing to God. So in this proverb, we see a difference. So many times in this last half of Proverbs 29, we see this contrast between one who is faithful, one who is trusting, one who fears the Lord, one who is committed to the straight way, and those who want to pervert the things of God. Let me close with this. Someone who likes crookedness is because they are committed to what they want. Someone who is committed to the straight way is someone who is committed to God. So we have to ask ourselves, which are we? Are we someone that loves that straight way, God's way? Or are we someone that the way of God is an abomination to us, that we're not interested in God's way because we are in bondage to what we want? Don't be in bondage to your desires. You need to have your desires replace with the desires of God. We could say it differently. You need to desire God's will for your life. And look how God begins to move in your circumstances, how he blesses you, how you become a recipient of the promises of God. God is good. Believe that and implement the goodness of God in your life. Until next time, shalom from Israel.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with him. Shalom from Israel.